You are Locked On Wizards, your daily Washington Wizards podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, what's up, everyone? Ben Standig here for another Locked On Wizards podcast. So I talked to my guy, Armon Lee, for a good long while after the Wizards beat the Knicks. We talked about a whole bunch of topics, including the news out of CSN that Phil Chenier will be out as the full-time analyst on their television broadcast. Armon was a producer at CSN. It just luck would have it that he and I were talking today. He's also a Knicks guy, so I wanted to get him on for this game. We talked for a while, probably 40 minutes or so, and then we went another 15 or so talking about Phil Chenier. Rather than put it all into one jumbo podcast, I broke it up into two. That's what you're going to hear here. Basically, I think we just pretty much only talk about the Phil Chenier situation. It'll happen next year. We'll see what they do. So we kind of speculate about what reasons why, who might be on deck, and what we think about Mr. Chenier. But check out the first podcast, part one, talked about the Wizards over the Knicks, Otto Porter versus Kelly Oubre, the evolution of Bradley Beal, and more. You can, of course, find all of our podcasts for us on iTunes. Follow us on Twitter, at Locked On Wizards, or at Ben Standig. You guys know this. Armon, he definitely knows his NBA. Follow him at Armon_Lee, and subscribe to his podcast talking about basketball, boxing, and a whole bunch more. The Quarterly Report. If you look at him up on Twitter, you'll find it, or go to iTunes and you will find it there. Also, I'm going to have another podcast for you guys later on Friday that I have already in the books with Nick Ashew from 106.7. We gave out a bunch of awards and things like that. Saturday, Wizards back home against the Heat. I'll be back with Todd Dybas for that. Phew. All right. So there you go. Lots going on here on the podcast. Thank you guys, as always, for listening. Hopefully, hopefully, you guys think we're still putting forth a good effort on the podcast and not as up and down as the Wizards. They won. I don't know. Been kind of weird, though. They still don't, it doesn't feel like they still have not hit their stride or played nearly as well as they did earlier in the year. Only three games left in the regular season. They better get it going. Anyway, I'm going to get going here. Here's my talk with Armon Lee about Phil Chenier. All right. Just so I don't keep it too long, and I always try to keep these things somewhat short, but I'm always bad about that. I get yelled at by Todd Dybas for talking too much. Let's get into the CSN thing. They announced today that I think, what is it, 33 years?
Yeah, something like that.
That after 33 years, Phil Chenier is not going to be the full-time analyst on the broadcast with Steve Buckhantz. I think they've been doing it for like the last 20 years together. I'm old and I don't remember anybody else at this point who was doing I don't remember too much about Wizards broadcast on television before Phil Chenier. He is, to me, just an unbelievably nice guy, the chillest dude in any room that he's in. They have great chemistry, so it's sort of a shock on some level that they do it. Typically, I didn't say typically, but a lot of times, a guy in his spot, they can keep going. Especially, man, he had to sit there and watch crap basketball for most of that run. Now they get to be good, and it's almost like, oh, now he's going to get taken off. But you know him from working at CSN, behind the scenes there. Well, I guess, what was your sense of that news, and what did you think about what your sense what is your sense of the news and all things about Phil that you know about?
It's crazy. You were the person that actually broke it to me. So when you sent the text, you were like, wait, we got to talk about Phil and the job. Initially, I'm thinking, oh man, thank you. The Knicks fired Phil Jackson. That's exactly what I thought. So I go on my Twitter timeline and then I see Steinberg and I'm like, oh my goodness, this can't be. Like you said, I used to work at CSN and I probably ran into Mr. Chenier probably 10 times in the 10 plus years I worked there. And every single time I mean, you've heard it from everyone on, you know, Twitter, online, radio, whatever. Every single time I met him, he was such a nice man, like such a gentleman. Probably didn't even know that I was a producer, but still spent time to just talk. Never had an attitude, just the nicest guy in the room. And he was like that to everyone. So, you know, I read the article, and it's good that it seems at least that they're doing right by him. He's going to be a part of their pre and post game shows, I'd imagine. And it seems as if he'll be part of some games, the announce crew. But, you know, it's the business. And it's I can understand it from the CSN monumental standpoint. You know, the Wizards for so long have, you know, struggled. And that's part of the connection that so many have with Phil, because it's a comfort. You're familiar with them. You've been with them. You've heard his voice for 82 games for, like you said, 30 years or so. And you've been through struggles with them. And he clearly cares about this organization. I mean, besides Wes Unseld, who has meant more to both the Bullets / Wizards organization from a player who's played, for those teams? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
he's right up there. But like you said, the Wizards are now transitioning. And a lot of that is you want to kind of separate yourselves from these many years of lackluster and poor play, and you want to tap into something new and embrace this new energy, this new hope and belief and optimism that is starting to sweep over the area. So, yeah, I can understand from a business perspective that you want to try to get something new. Hopefully whoever fills Phil's shoes, they're not just a name, that they actually are good, because they've got big shoes to fill, no pun intended. But yeah, I understand it. It's tough, you know what I mean? But luckily it seems like they did right by Phil, because that's important. But yeah, I mean, he means so much to this team, and you hit on it. Chemistry is huge, and he and Buck have great chemistry. And it's going to be awkward at first. You know, it's going to be awkward not hearing Phil's voice, his soothing tones, and, you know, his insight. But it's a tough business, but I understand the move from the CSN / monumental perspective, because, you know, you want to embrace this new wave of energy that the Wizards are starting to tap into. And a lot of times the first way to do that is with the people who actually are calling the game.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, he's always chilling. Even on the broadcast, we rarely hear him, his levels go up or go way down.
Right.
And as a human being, I can respect that, because I know I can get carried away with certain things. So to hear somebody, even in the heat of the moment, you know, he's invested in it. This is the team he's been a part of his entire life. And yet that's his demeanor is to stay there. And I do wonder on some level, and I hope this isn't the case, but in this sort of Stephen A. Smith world where louder is viewed as better, if on some level there was, you know, there's some thinking of making change for that type of element, for more of that. I mean, Phil was not the kind of guy who would say something so outlandish that it would lead, you know, that Steinberg would transcribe it, or that it would lead ESPN, or blogs would be written about it, or fans would go crazy. I mean, he was there. He and Buck answered a good thing. I you know, I don't watch all 30 teams, but, you know, from everything you see today, so many people from around the league were praising what they did together. The one thing I don't think they necessarily have to, that person in that job has to be somebody who played for the team 100%. But for a team like the Wizards, who so many people in this area just dismiss and overlook and don't care, and therefore probably don't know too much about their history. I mean, I write all the time, especially before they got on this run this year, how many people in this town look at them from 30,000 feet.
Right.
Having somebody who's been there for all these years, 30-something on the announcing team and plus his career as a player, I think is of great value. I know when I watch the Nats, who have been around for 10 minutes as a franchise, it's ridiculous when I hear FP Santangelo talk about
yeah,
play for the team. It sounds overly homerific. If Phil wants to do it,
You can't take issue with it.
I got it. When Doc Walker does it on the Redskins, I don't have any issue with it. So there's some value to have for somebody who's been there. But when you start looking at the potential like replacements, it's hard to come up with too many names that make sense because the Bullets Wizards have been so bad largely. Right. There's not too many guys who are going, oh, yeah, get that guy. That's an obvious fit. There's a couple names I'll ask you in a second. But it just shows you how iconic Phil has been with this. If they don't put his number up in the rafters, I can't believe it's already – if it's not there already.
Yeah.
At least just based on the combination of play and announcing, it better be up there before opening day or at least not maybe in the next week at Verizon Center.
Yeah, and you hit a really great point. You know, a lot of color guys, especially in today's day and age, like you said, they're Tommy Hinestone or Sean Elliott, like super homers, that it almost takes away from the broadcast. And not to say Buck is a homer, but Buck is extremely passionate. So Phil's kind of, you know, smooth and calming tones work so perfectly with Buck, you know. And there'll be times in a game where Phil was like, oh, you know, that was a foul on a Wizards player or, you know, the Wizards got away with the travel. You don't hear that much nowadays when it comes to color play by or color analysis for, you know, RSNs. It just doesn't happen. And Phil was special in that regard because obviously you have to respect his basketball acumen because he played and he was a significant player for the one championship team. But he also knew his stuff and he was able to communicate it in a way that one didn't take away from Buck Hance's play-by-play calling because Buck Hance has a very distinguished, very, you know, specific way of calling games and they worked well together. But also he speaks to you like it's like almost like a guidance counselor. He can talk about the game in a way that you can relate and that you can understand. And that's just an effective way. And it's so different than how many teams are going about it now. And it'll be missed.
Well, and like to your point about the homer thing, look, I mean, if you have that job and you're around, look, okay, look, I'll play it like this. I grew up in this area. I rooted for this team, all right. That. I've tried as an adult to kick out the fan aspect of it, and largely because I'm dead inside as a human, I've largely done that. But like when you're around them, just as human beings, you talk to these people. I mean, John Wall is not a name on a stat to me. I actually see the guy, and we'll have a conversation once in a while. So it's hard to, and it's not even in the ballpark to where I'm sure it is with Buck and Phil. They're on the plane and all that. So it's impossible to not feel that connection. At the same point, I totally respect, they will say that was a foul on John. They actually do make mistakes. They do sometimes stink. They will call that out. They can't go too crazy. It's a team broadcast. Right. We can't be crazy about how we understand how the world works. They have to present something that's
absolutely
in a realm of positive, but they will call things out. Again, just to go to the Nat side of things, I mean, the one of the issues I have, and I know the one people will tell me about, whether they want to admit it publicly or not, is that the unbelievable homer aspect of the whole broadcast.
Yeah.
It's insane, and it just takes it away. I get you can like the team, but call it what it is. Don't just be, don't be cloudy. Don't cloud the your analysis because it's the team. Just be honest as best you can within the realm of what you're doing, and I think Phil and Buck do a really good job of that, and that's one of the things I'll be curious to see what happens, who they bring in next, you know, how do they go down that path.
Yeah, I mean, I saw your tweet earlier, you know, I don't know if he's even in contention. I've only heard him speak a few times, like one game in Orlando this year earlier in the year, but Drew Gooden, he was sharp. I don't even know if he's a candidate. Brendan Haywood has, I haven't heard him do color, but I've seen him on television as an analyst, and he's been really sharp. He's been impressive. But I don't know if you let Phil go and then bring in Brendan Haywood. Like, I don't know if that's the splash. I'm assuming they want a splash, and I don't know if Brendan Haywood does that. So I have no idea. I genuinely have no clue what they're going to do. I'm assuming Legler, he's getting paid a lot of money for ESPN. I doubt that he takes that job, but well, that'd be an interesting name.
You know, it's interesting about that, and I haven't heard, but, you know, we keep hearing the rumors that ESPN is supposedly going to be laying off a bunch of people, and then supposedly they're saying talent is the way to go. Now, I think Legler is pretty good, but I don't see him getting, like, tons of run on TV. I don't watch ESPN nearly as much as I used to, so maybe I'm wrong, but that's an interesting one. He, I think, is tremendous on TV. Again, right. I don't know how flashy he is. I think he's really good. And if they could get, if it is Tim Legler, hypothetically, we don't know, that would be a move, yeah, I could definitely support. But Drew Gooden, again, the ability to speak intelligently in the game flow, we know that that can escape even some interesting people. Reggie Miller's an interesting guy. He's terrible on that, that job. But Drew Gooden is an interesting guy, and I think he would be really good. I would like to see him given the opportunity at least to see what would happen. But, you know, we'll see. Hopefully, you don't – if you're going to make a move like this, this is similar to what I just dealt with Georgetown. If you're going to make a move like dumping JT3, I would hope you have a real plan in play, or at least what you think is not just, okay, now what?
Right.
So I hope, I'm going to guess to find people at TSN do have a sense of what they want to do. But Drew Gooden to me would be somebody, if you're going to, you know, if you've already gone down this path, I'd like to see him get a real look.
Yeah. I mean, the only thing with Drew is I don't know how much he's done. That shouldn't be an ultimate disqualifier, but, you know, it's bright lights. And next season for the Wizards, there's going to be a lot of expectations. You assume that they're going to be on a lot of those NBA TV broadcasts where they take the RSN fee. So he'll have a lot of exposure. And I don't think that's lost on CSN or Monumental. So I think he's interesting. He sounds well. He's definitely... From the two times I've heard him talk, it was great. And he was entertaining, and he has some type of rapport with Buck. But I'm interested. I mean, they've got my attention, and I think that's part of the battle. It's not half the battle, but it's part of it.
That is true. All right, I definitely have kept you way longer than I was anticipating, but we had topics to get into, have not talked all year. Unfortunately,
it was fun.
We didn't really get into any yelling matches, which I'm sure will disappoint people, because people used to like pay top dollar to get front row seats to watch us yell at each other.
You beat me into submission this season. I don't really know what to say. I mean, say something about LeBron and then I'll get fired back up. But I mean, I'm a defeated man, Ben. I don't know what to say.
All right. Well, I look, the playoffs are upon us. It's when my LeBron come out the most. So I'm sure something will be said. I'll say something dumb on Twitter and you can say, all right, tag me in.
I'm ready. All right.
All right, everybody, follow Armon on Twitter at Armon_Lee. And yes, check out his podcast, The Quarterly Report. And thank you guys as always for listening. Wizards back in action Saturday against Miami at home, the final home game of the year. I will be there. I presume Todd Dibas will be as well. We'll get back at it there. Friday's podcast, I've got that for you. It'll be myself and Nick Ashew from 106.7. So get ready for that one as well. We'll take a look. It's sort of the award. We're doling out awards. All right. Until next time, everyone. See ya.
Everybody just took me. Deal gets open for three. Dagger!
Long drive. Long bounce shot. Dagger!